You have a hard on for goats?
The VGRG Gaming Podcast, episode 280, recorded on March 13th, 2015.
Welcome to the 380th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 213th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and includes gaming flashback.
So, there was no podcast last week because I was in Boston doing PAX East, while Paul here was in San Francisco doing GDC.
I was in San Francisco doing GDC.
Doing the GDCs.
From both ends.
Oh, really? Okay, I don't want to know.
From the north building and the south building.
Okay, well, you know.
What did you think I was talking about?
When you're in San Francisco, there's a lot of connotations there. So
the same convention is held in San Francisco every year.
Yeah, how much of it was indie part, or how much of it was you handing your business card around trying to get a job?
That was rather insulting.
Wait, you don't have a job?
That was insulting.
Well, that's what I do whenever I'm at going to stuff like E3. I'm always handing out my card and looking for better work.
I'm just saying, the way you said it was insulting.
It wasn't meant to be insulting, Paul.
I know.
So, did you make any...
Which is why I'm using this as a teachable moment to show you that your tone can mean things that you did not intend.
So, did you make any connections at GDC, Paul?
I made several new acquaintances at GDC.
Ooh. Any major companies or just indies?
Acquaintances.
Okay. So, at PAX East, I did very little of the video game stuff. I did mostly board games. And actually, some of the board games which I backed on Kickstarter was on. It was at PAX East. I was able to get some hands-on time with them. The best one that I demoed, I guess you have to call it. So the first game is called Bad Medicine. And you create these drugs which are supposed to take care of the medicine. Now you create the name of it, and each of the cards has sort of a syllable on top, like pack, donk, iptus, whatever. Then the middle part of it, you choose two cards which have what it's going to. So suppose the malady is anal leakage, right? And you have, okay, this will stop the circulation so you don't have it anymore. And it'll make your hair grow faster so that whatever, right? And then everybody gives you a card and you have to choose from them and it'll be the negative side effect. Like, the side effect is that it'll make pinkies grow out of either, extra pinky out of each hand. You know, and you, since you're a drug company, you have to make it sound like it's no big deal, whatever it is. So you have your, and everybody makes their own drug, and one person gets to pick which one they like the best. So it's hilarious. There was some really, really funny stuff, with that game. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Sounds kind of like Cards Against Humanity.
Yes and no. It's more, there's another game that's like that, it is like Cards Against Humanity in which you're trying to convince someone that yours is the most offensive or funny or whatever, right?
Okay.
But that reminds me of another game that I played that I had no idea about, but when I played it, it was hilarious. And it's called Billionaire Banshee. And it's okay. Sort of a dating game. Now, check this out. Each of the cards, everybody gets, there are several ways to play. The base way is that someone gets a perk and a quirk. So something that's good, something that's bad. And people have to guess whether they would date or deny that person. Like a good thing. He has his own moon base, And he can travel up there anytime he likes and all that stuff. The negative thing, he doesn't know how to wipe himself correctly, and he never gets it right. So, would you date that person or would you deny that person? So, there's another variation of the game which we played, which was called the dating game. And basically, everybody would get two cards, right? A quirk and a perk. And they would try to convince that person why they should pick them to go on the date. So, you know, it's the dating game. And one of the most hilarious ones was the perk. He's a billionaire. The quirk. He'll never let you see your friends or family ever again in your entire life. So would you date that person or would you deny? You know, is that the best date? You know. And the funniest thing is I did get a hold of the dating game theme music, so I had it playing in the background while this was going on.
Because it's all about going that extra mile with you, isn't it, Jonah Falcon?
Oh, yeah. You know, there's nothing like those extra inches that make people feel great.
On that note.
So, there was, you know, there was a lot of fun stuff. On the video game side, I met with Harmonix, and I got myself a Rock Band 4 t-shirt. And I pre-ordered, and I can't believe I did this, but I pre-ordered the PAX East guitar for Rock Band 4. $100 pre-order. I'm such a total tool when it comes to that game. But I did get some important information about that, Paul. They are working on getting the imports from previous music of the first three games into Rock Band 4. But there is a catch.
That's kind of awesome.
There is a catch. It has to remain in the same platform. So Xbox One, you had to get the music if you bought it in the Xbox 360. And for PlayStation 4, you had to do it if you bought it on the PS3. So.
Okay, well, you know what? That is actually a lot better than what I thought you were about to say. Like, they were happy to work on that deal for the Xbox One as long as you were going to continue to play on your Xbox One. And I'd be like, well, how useful is that? No, but I mean, if you're going to, you know, if you bought it on a Sony system, you're going to play it on the next Sony system, hopefully.
Yeah, well, that's what they're running with. Basically, they're all previously on the same system, though. You know, it was like PS3, Wii, and Xbox 360, Rock Band 2 and Rock Band 3 and Rock Band 1. They're all on the same system, right? So this is a
next, is Rock Band not coming to the Wii? I don't understand.
No,
the
it's not. I thought you knew this. I told you this weeks ago. It's not coming to Nintendo console. Although, you know,
then they really do need to. They really do need to step it up when it comes to how you're going to support those players.
Well, here's the thing: give it time. I'm willing to bet you, if the Wii U continues to improve, they'll say after they've completed development of the Xbox 3, Xbox One, PS4 version, if there's enough of a demand, there will be a Nintendo version.
There might not be enough of demand in the category.
Well,
let alone in that hardware.
You know, the thing is that it's been a while. It's been 4 years.
Right. People might be a little over Rock Band.
People might want to whet their appetite because it was very.
No, it's a gamble at this point, I think.
It's a very popular booth, and I think people are ready for a new Rock Band. They may not be ready for a new Guitar Hero, but they're ready for a new Rock Band.
We shall see.
Which also, by the way, ties into this week's gaming flashback. But before we get to that, I want to continue with PAX East. And, you know, there were some other things. Sean Baptiste was there, and he had his indie games there. And the one that was really, really popular was it's Catastrophe or Cat Lateral Damage. Cat Lateral Damage.
Okay.
And basically, it's a $5 game on Steam. And what the entire game is, you're a cat and you're wrecking up the room. And that's your basic goal, is to do as much damage as you can as the cat to the room.
Well, that sounds lovely.
Yeah. It was very popular. It's only $5. I actually got codes for it. So I'm thinking maybe I should be giving away codes for Cat Lateral Damage. And the other one was 20XX, I believe it's called. They came as a pack. So, I mean, I may give away some codes. I mean, Sean and I are tight, and I can probably get some codes for Cat Ladder.
Well, then I would look forward to that.
Yeah. I mean, what better way to enjoy yourself as playing a cat who's tossing things from balcony from shelves and destroying your house in as little time as possible?
You playing the dog chasing the cat?
No.
I don't know. Just for us dog people.
Just the cat, and he's wrecking your room. That's it. Anyways, we are going to move on to gaming history, and you know, it actually came out 10 years ago, and it was done by Harmonix. Take it away, Paul.
Gaming history, Guitar Hero. Guitar Hero is a music rhythm game developed by Harmonix, the best known as Dance Central, Rock Band, and Fantasia Music Evolved, and published by Red Octane for the PlayStation 2 video game console.
Yeah, Red Octane was responsible for the actual instrument. That's, you know, because they also were the ones who did the Dance Dance Revolution pads.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
It is the first entry in the Guitar Hero series. Guitar Hero was released on November 8th, 2005. It's a little young. It's a little young, but we're going to look the other way. In North America.
It's 10 years ago, though. This is 2015.
Well, yeah, but it's not November of 2015. It's like 14 years in a month.
I don't look at the date. I just look at the year.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
You know, this
is we're gonna look the other way.
Yeah, this is not underage dating here, Paul. This is just
it's underage gaming, which is worse.
Okay.
Don't ask me how, it just is.
Okay.
in North America, April 7th, 2006 in Europe, and June 15th, 2006 in Australia. The game's development was a result of a collaboration between Red Octane and Harmonix to bring guitar freaks-like game to America. The gameplay is similar to other music and rhythm video games, in that the player must press buttons on the game controller in time with scrolling notes on the game screen to complete a song. The basic mechanics are based on Konami's Guitar Freaks. In the case of Guitar Hero, the player must use either a guitar peripheral at a 3/4 scale reproduction of the Gibson SG guitar was bundled with the game, or a third-party version, or a standard controller to play the song, the scrolling notes.
Hold on. I cannot imagine anybody using a game controller to play Guitar Hero or Rock Band. Because of the way the buttons are arranged on the thing, and it'll
I mean that doesn't even really make sense. But moving on. But I guess it was for that 0.2% of the population that needed to do that.
Well, to do a two-player, I suppose. But
yeah, the guitar peripheral has 5 different colored fret buttons near the neck of the guitar, the nut of the guitar neck, and with a strum bar and a whammy bar, the body of the guitar. The peripheral also has other buttons on in order to navigate the game's menus. Music is displayed on screen through a series of notes matching in color and position to the fret buttons that scroll down the screen on a fretboard. To hit or play a note, the player must hold down the fret button corresponding with the note shown and toggle the strum bar at the same time as the note passes the marked area on the screen. Faster series of notes may be played on the guitar controller using hammer-on and peel-off techniques where the player does not need to strum each note. And the game supports toggling the handedness of the guitar because, you know, if you're left-handed, you play it backwards, allowing both left-handed and right-handed players to utilize the guitar controller. A player using a standard controller simply presses the buttons that correspond with the displayed notes as outlined in the game's manual. The player is awarded points for correctly hitting notes, chords, and sustains. The player can also increase a score multiplier by playing a series of consecutive notes successfully. A rock meter tracks the player's performance based on success or failure of hitting notes, and if the meter drops too low, the song will prematurely end in failure for the player. The player can also earn star power by playing a series of glowing notes perfectly and using the whammy bar during sustains. Once the star power meter is filled at least halfway, star power can then be activated by briefly tilting the guitar controller vertically, or by pressing a specific button in a standard controller. Activating star power will double the scoring multiplier and makes it easier to increase the rock meter by playing correct notes. Thus, players can strategically use star power to play through default difficult sections of the song they might have otherwise failed. Guitar Hero and Rock Band have been, and its chief rival Rock Band, have been considered a boon to the music industry in a manner similar to the music videos in the 1980s. Both licensed and indie bands whose works have been included in the Guitar Hero games have gained further popularity from this inclusion. Both record companies and retailers have experienced increases of 200% to 300% in sales of songs after their inclusion in the series. Every Guitar Hero 3 song tracked by Nielsen's SoundScan, 62 of 70, saw an increase in digital download sales the week ending December 30th, 2007, when many who got the game as a gift were playing it, and every song included in Guitar Hero 3 and Rock Band saw download sales increase during 2007 between 15% to 843%.
Yeah. I mean, I was introduced to a few songs that I never would have bought, you know, because it was included in Rock Band.
I would have to say the same. I got the Legends of Rock Guitar Hero version and was happy with my Poison, although was introduced to things like I see a river and I want to paint it black.
Yeah, that's Rolling Stones. Paint it black.
Right, but I mean, I never had anybody introduce me to the Rolling Stones in any other way. No. I was just like, oh, wow. Those are cool lyrics. I could dig this song.
You know, my cousin's kid, who was like 15 at the time, was introduced to the Beatles through the Beatles Rock Band, and he became a huge Beatles fan afterwards.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to move on to the game news, and the first one is fairly disturbing. Report, Mississippi Report, Mississippi deputy fired over threatening Xbox Live players. And this comes to us from Ars Technica. I think it's the Mississippi, you know, that you have to, that I stumbled over. It's a weird.
Yes, it's the Mississippi.
Yeah.
It's quite wide that way.
A Mississippi sheriff's deputy was fired from his job in Jackson County after a YouTube video allegedly captured him yelling racist slurs and violently threatening other players in an online video game. Friday's firing of Deputy Michael Slater was confirmed by Jackson News outlet The Clarion Ledger, who learned of the deputy's threats by way of Free Thought Project report. In a video, a Call of Duty Advanced Warfare player who identified himself only as David received an angry voice message from someone he'd encountered in a prior game. He said, "You talk a lot of shit to suck as bad you do. You're fucking terrible." All while recording their play to make trolling a trolling video for YouTube. David invited this angry player to a private voice chat session, at which point the conversation escalated quickly on both sides. "In real life, you wouldn't want to see me with a fucking gun," David was overheard saying to the person who eventually identified himself as a Jackson County Sheriff's deputy. David was then heard shouting a stream of threats and asking for Slater's address, to which Slater actually obliged. "You're about to come to a fucking paid police officer's house," Slater was overheard saying in response to the continued threats. I get paid to beat up racial slur like you. I get paid to beat up fucking racial slur up like you. I will fuck you up. You're damn right I'm a cop." At that point, David could be heard asking for a badge number, which Slater offered. David continued to make violent threats while saying, "You ain't no fucking cop," at which Slater offered to send him a picture message of his face and his uniform. Once the Free Thought Project received the relevant information, a reporter confirmed Michael Slater's employment with the Jackson County Sheriff's Department. Days later, the Jackson County Sheriff's Department confirmed the same information to Clarion Ledger, adding that Slater's job had been terminated and that he had been a member of the department for 3 years. "We don't condone that type of behavior or language," the department's spokesperson said. By the way, David said he didn't want to get him fired. But if you have someone who's a law enforcement officer who's screaming racial slurs, who's threatening you with a gun in real life, I don't think that you'd want that person being employed anyway.
Even if he was
lying about all that stuff, you know, I don't mean he wasn't lying about being a cop, but, you know, lying about doing this and that, you know, would you really want someone like that on the police force? Because they're obviously fantasizing about it.
I mean, I was all set to be in this guy's corner. I really was. The wrongdoer. The cop.
Oh, okay.
I was all set to be in the cop's corner. Because if you know, personally, had you gotten into, you know, some trash talking online and it got a little racial or a little personal or and distasteful, it might be unseemly, but there's really nothing wrong with that. Once you, however, bring in on your off-duty time, your association with an entity larger than yourself.
Yeah, I mean,
now you're crossing the line. Now it's become that employer, that government agency's right to say no. You don't get to drag our name down there with you.
Yeah, I mean,
we're not gonna be policing you in your off time to making sure that you don't go down to that slum, but you don't get to drag us down there with you.
Well, that was my other thing.
Can't take pictures of. I mean, that's like a woman, an officer was arrested, fired years ago because she posed in Playboy in various parts of her uniform.
The thing is that, ignoring all the racial stuff and all the violent stuff, how stupid do you have to be to give your name, your station, and your badge number to someone on Xbox Live? How stupid are you to do that?
Well, I think the problem here was that this particular person felt that being a police officer, along with the anonymity of the internet, which he gave up, made him above not only reproach, but above the law.
Also, we're talking about Mississippi, which has a high African-American population. And once this gets out about one of their cops engaging in this sort of talk, it sort of makes them look bad, especially with the environment we have right now. I don't think they'd want to have someone associated like that with the police office, department.
I mean, having never been to Mississippi, I can't really speak to that. I'm saying, I mean, this to me stops becoming, the actions of a private citizen when he brings in his workplace identity into the conversation.
When you're online, you have to disassociate. Just disassociate. You don't have to, you do have the right to not respond. I don't know if many people understand this. You can actually A, block someone, B, report them, and C, mute them.
Or D, act like a freaking grown up in the first place.
Well, that's just it. You expect this from 12-year-olds on Xbox Live. I doubt this officer is a 12-year-old, and he's been on the, so at the very minimum, he's 21, probably somewhere in his mid-20s. And it's a life lesson for this person who was fired, shut up. You don't have
from a government job. I mean, yeah. Not everybody can make it onto a police force. I mean, you gave away something pretty special. Well,
unless you're from Cleveland, then it's very easy. But anyways, so this next item is probably going to make your eyes light up because you bought SimCity, right?
I did buy SimCity.
And you enjoyed it for a while.
I enjoyed it for a while.
Well, this game might interest you. Go ahead, Paul.
Cities Skylines breaks Paradox sales records, and this comes to us from Games Industry Biz. Cities Skylines has sold 250,000 copies, including pre-orders, in its first 24 hours of sales. The release sets the new record for publisher Paradox Interactive. Quote, "We would like to offer our deepest and heartfelt thanks to the community for their passionate support, and let them know that we are committed to supporting this wonderful game for years to come. In the same way that we have our Crusader Kings Europa Universal communities," said Paradox Interactive CEO Frederick Wetzler. "Our congratulations and thanks must go also to developer
Colossal."
Excuse me, popcorn. No, excuse me, that was popcorn in my throat. "Developer Colossal Order for making what is being widely described as the new benchmark of the city building genre. We have forged a strong partnership with them over a number of years through the release of Cities in Motion and Cities in Motion 2, and I am happy to see such a talented team now being widely applauded for their unmatched passion and skill. The game was released digitally on March 10th and received high marks from critics, currently holding a Metacritic score of 89.
Oh, they're not going to get their bonuses because it's not 90.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. They're not going to get their bonuses because it's not 90.
Yeah. Now, this is the game that a lot of SimCity fans have said should have been SimCity 5. It's beautiful. It's more open. It isn't. It's more like SimCity 2000, in terms of gameplay. But it has that next gen feel. And I know now, Paul, you said you grew tired of SimCity.
Yeah, well, I mean, with any sim game, the ultimate core problem is you kind of reach a point of having been there and done that with all the features. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not that you've given up, you've just kind of have already consumed it.
Mm. But did you ever play Cities in Motion?
I don't think I have.
Okay, well, Cities in Motion was a game in which you did not build a city, you built the public transportation. And you had a wide range, you know.
That's more interesting.
Really fun. And it also came with a lot of expansions. So this developer has expanded itself. So now, not only are you doing the public transportation, obviously, but the entire city, zoning, and everything that you do in SimCity. And it is really beautiful looking. I strongly suggest you go to Google or whatever, do a web search for it, because people are already creating mods for it. Like, they've already recreated Grand Theft Auto V's Los Santos.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, it's also on Steam now, and it's on Gamersgate. Not Gamergate, but Gamersgate. I feel bad for Gamersgate, because they're a digital online seller, but they have the unfortunate name of Gamersgate, and they had that name long before Gamergate came out. It's just, you know, it's like it has – now that general thing, words have a negative connotation, you know. But I strongly suggest you at least check it out on Steam or whatever, because it is really a beautiful game. Although you – oh, well, there is that one little problem that you might have. Because
I'm not doing business with Steam?
No, because I don't think it runs under Windows XP.
Oh, well.
But once you join the 21st century, you know, you should really check it out, especially if you like city building games.
I'll just have to play something else. Fortunately, my iOS will download just about anything.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is that it's nice to see another city building, because I think SimCity had a monopoly on that for a while, didn't it? I mean, the only thing that was like it was Cities XXL, but that wasn't a city building game in terms of like SimCity. That game was just plopping down stuff and watching things grow around it. There was no real strategy to it. You know, it was just, I'm going to build this. It's just like a Lego project. You know, I'm just going to put here. You know, this game actually requires – they have YouTube videos of someone incorrectly placing a dam and flooding their town. just having the water just drown it, you know. So that sort of stuff happens in it. So there is some procedural stuff going on in the game.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to the next item. Titanfall DLC is free forever on Xbox One, PC, and Xbox 360. This comes to us from GameSpot. Respawn Entertainment has confirmed that its free DLC promotion for the 2014 blockbuster shooter Titanfall has no time restrictions, with all three expansions free to download forever. Titanfall's trio of expansions, Expedition, Frontier's Edge, and IMC Rising, usually cost $10 in the US and £7 in the UK. And the announcement is to offer free... The announcement to offer the content for free was partly to mark the game's one-year anniversary. Respawn's co-founder Vince Impella has published a blog post thanking fans for the support of the Titanfall throughout its first 12 months on the market. It was not clear how long the promotion would last until on Friday. The game's official Twitter said, "The content is free starting now and remain free for all users who purchase Titanfall for the Xbox One." Xbox 3... Sorry. This content is free starting now and will remain free for all students. This content is free starting now and will remain free for all users who purchase Titanfall for Xbox One, Xbox 360, and PC. Now, associated with this news was the confirmation that Titanfall 2 would be multi-platform.
Woohoo!
So, it's nice when, you know, it's nice that, because I never bought the DLC for Titanfall. I mean, I stopped playing it like a month after, and not because it was bad, it was just because I had so much stuff to do. But it hasn't had the amount of a lot of players on it. So I think this is encouraging people to come and play the game online. You know, and that was the problem with having a game that was only multiplayer. You know? I mean, I strongly feel that a single player element usually locks people into the experience. Even if they never, it's strange, even the players who never play the single player of any of the Call of Duty games, they still play the multiplayer online, no matter how big or strong it is. But if there isn't a single-player element like Brink, like Titanfall, like Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, all that stuff, people don't have as much interest. And I'm wondering why that is, even if they don't play a single-player content.
I really think that for people who end up, you know, starting with the single player and then graduating, it's kind of like, you know, graduating into multiplayer. It's kind of like training wheels, because you end up, you know, playing against AI, you know, one stage at a time, you know, being pretty much walked through everything. It's like a giant tutorial for the online version.
But there are players who get Call of Duty and never touch the single player component of the game. And I'm wondering if that would be true if it wasn't. If it was just multiplayer only, I have a feeling those players would not buy Call of Duty for whatever reason, you know? I think it's the perception that the game has a backbone, like the single player is the backbone on which multiplayer is based. And if there is no backbone, if there is no single player, then the multiplayer seems weaker for some reason.
Well, I mean, the single player, if nothing else, is a safe space in which for you to suck.
Yeah. They do have bot play on some of these games, you know, that are multiplayer only, and it still doesn't work that way. I mean, the only multiplayer only game that really worked that I've played was Left 4 Dead games.
Okay.
You know, even though they had a single player mode, you still never played that because the bots are really annoying, right? So that's the only game I can really think of, you know. I mean, Evolve did well, but it's not doing as well as it could have. It's like another Titanfall in which it's going to be strong in the first, and then interest is just going to wane. Although the reasons for it is that it's horribly balanced, you know. But I don't know. Like I said, it's great. I may log in to Titanfall again just to download the content because it's free.
I mean, free content.
And they also, from what I understand, there's actually a player versus environment maps, so in which you're not playing against people, everybody's co-oping, which appeals to me because I really, you know, that's I don't play many competitive online. My main deal is I love to play the co-op stuff, like Left 4 Dead, like you know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. In which you're teaming up with other people against the computer. You're not fighting each other, right?
Right.
It's not kumbaya on my part. It's just that I like the cooperation and the teamwork that you have in these co-op games. Anyways, next item, go ahead, Paul.
Goat Simulator is coming to Xbox One and 360 in April, and this comes to us from videogamer.com. Goat Simulator will launch for Xbox One and Xbox 360 in April, a new trailer from Xbox has revealed. The trailer's blurb reads, quote, "The latest in goat simulation technology is made..." This is news? "The latest in goat simulation technology is making its way to an Xbox near you. You no longer have to imagine what it is like to cause as much destruction as possible as a goat. Soon you'll be able to pick up a controller and take the world as a goat, racking up points as you destroy the world around you, using your insanely long tongue to drag people and objects to their demise. You could always pool your money with friends and buy a real goat instead. They're not that expensive, but you won't be able to do a lot more with them on Xbox than you can in real life."
You know, actually, now that I hear the description, you know, doesn't it sound a little like Katamari Damacy? Just a little bit?
No.
But the reason why this is here is because, for whatever reason, Goat Simulator...
Because you have a hard-on for goats?
...is insanely popular, you know? And, you know, it's also a little like Cat Lateral, because Cat Lateral is about having a cat in your apartment wrecking stuff, and this is just being outside. So, you know, I don't know why I included it. I think it's because it's weird, and also because there's a lot of weird stuff out there which people really, really like. I mean, I still haven't played Quap, and people will pillory me for saying that. You know? I haven't played Octodad. Have you played Octodad?
There are so many games in the world today that it is impossible to have played them all.
Yeah, I know, but there's some really bizarre ones. So, are you interested in simulating goats?
I can't say that I ever have been before.
Well, let me ask you a question. What was the weirdest premise for a game that you've ever played?
The weirdest premise for a game that I've ever played was an independent project designed by Jamie... let me go look it up.
Uh-oh. Just look things up, people.
Let's see. Okay. There was an independent project that was designed by Jamie Antonis, who's currently a game designer with Disney, in which it was a rhythm game. You played the part of a mother who was trying to keep their child asleep by singing her or him a lullaby, a medley, because if you didn't get the song just right, the baby would wake up and start crying, and the baby's cries would attract the attention of the soldiers because you are unfortunately living in Rwanda.
Oh, okay. So this is sort of like a simulator of the final MASH episode, you know?
Something like that. Yeah, but I mean, it was just so well done. I mean, you know, it was an independent project. I don't know if he did it for a game jam or whatever, but that was such a like clear idea and a great way to bring the tension of being in such a terrible situation to the forefront of the minds of the audience, and have them not experience but at least begin to understand what it is like for people stuck in that situation.
That reminds me of a game that was released recently called This War of Mine. Have you ever heard of it?
Nope, I haven't heard of it.
It's a survival game in which you're civilian survivors in the middle of a war, and you have to send them out to find food to keep them alive. And sometimes you'd say, come up on an old man, and the old man would be defenseless and says, please don't come in because, this is all the food we have. Do you leave him alone? Do you kill him and his wife and take the food? Do you steal the wife? You just push him aside and grab the food and leave? And as things get more and more desperate, you find yourself having to do more and more drastic things to keep your group alive, So, mm-hmm. I mean, this you could definitely play, I think, on Windows 98 if you want to check it out. It's on Steam, This War of Mine. But I'm going to say something. It's incredibly depressing. It's even more depressing than Papers, Please. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, anyways, the final one is... Cards Against Humanity now online and free. And this comes to us from Eurogamer. Cards Against Humanity, the comedic party game about matching funny offensive words to funny offensive prompts, is now available for free online. Dubbed Cards Against Originality, this web app was actually made by a third-party developer named Dawson Whitfield. This is completely legal, as the original Cards Against Humanity was made under a Creative Commons license, meaning it's free for anyone to replicate and distribute as long as it's not for profit. One of Card Against Humanity's original developers, Max Temkin, embraces this unofficial app. He says, I'm glad that our fans have been able to take Cards Against Humanity and remix them into their own original things. That has been a goal that since we've started working on our project, he told Engadget. Cards Against Humanity is obviously a remix of comedy and games and pop culture that we love, and it's extremely cool to see that our thing inspiring people to make stuff. We don't think it's very fun to play Cards Against Humanity on a phone, which is why we never shipped an app, he added. We don't want to make something slightly worse than the thing we're already making. One of the best parts of Cards Against Humanity is just having an analog experience with people and laughing and making your friends laugh. That local experience isn't entirely lost in Cards Against Originality, as the web app needs to be played in the same room as other players. This app is intended to fill in when you forget your physical cards. You'll still need to be with your friends or strangers at the bar to play, Whitfield noted. On the plus side, since it's web-based, it can be played on any device with an internet connection. Cards Against Originality includes all the content from Cards Against Humanity along with its 5 expansion packs. So, I know why, aside from the fact they use Creative Commons, I know why the developers of the original card game don't mind, because what happens is people play this and they say, you know what, this is really fun. We should get the card game. It's basically
advertising. It is free advertising. But I mean, it would also be kind of hypocritical for them to try and do anything about it. Creative Commons or not, because I mean, they went and ripped the card mechanic off of Apples to Apples in the first place. Because you can't copyright a game mechanic.
I actually backed a game called Disturbed Friends this game should not be legal. And it has a similar thing, except basically it's actually ripping off Taboo, you know, in which you get a card and you read three options for that person. Everybody guesses which option they would do. That's the game that Bad Medicine is more resembling, is Taboo, in which, you know, you create something and someone has to pick which one they think that person would select, you know, that sort of thing. So, okay. Yeah, I mean, the thing about Cards Against Humanity, I agree with them that it seems doesn't feel like something you would want to play online, because a lot of it is just watching people crack up, you know, and just laugh. I don't think you get that from a dry, sterile online connection. Have you played Cards Against Humanity?
I have played Cards Against Humanity. It's a fun little game.
Yeah. You know, I wonder if you could do the offensive thing with apples to apples. I'm pretty sure it's possible, just a little harder.
No, it's almost impossible.
So yeah, I mean, you know, if anything, it's a free app, and you can check it out online to check it out. That was redundancy. That was the Department of Redundancy. Anyways, we do have listener feedback. Go ahead, Paul.
From Alpha Shard. Man, first you knock Final Fantasy and then Darkwing Duck. I felt that Darkwing was as well-rounded as Rebecca from Tailspin. Thank you, Alpha Shard. Love both shows, by the way. Yes, he's self-promoted, but I think he did that in part to help take care of his adopted daughter, Goslin. That's right. That's right, single dad. He also used non-lethal means to fight villains like Batman. I'm surprised you guys didn't talk about the video game counterparts to Tailspin and Darkwing Duck.
Well, you
see, here's the problem. It's only an hour-long show.
But I thought you did, Paul. I thought you did talk about the video game versions of Tailspin.
I did talk about the video game version of Tailspin. That had absolutely nothing to do with the cartoon.
Did you?
The Darkwing Duck theme was pretty awesome, though.
Oh, okay.
One last thing about why I back any Kickstarter game. Any Kickstarter game is a game, Swords Coast Legends, being made by Nspace. The company's president, Dan Tudge, said, quote, "I think that consumers have proven by voting with their wallets that not everyone wants to play a $100 million blockbuster, though we certainly all enjoyed them. There is a place for really creative story-driven RPGs that do things like remain isometric, do things like party-based tactical combat with pause and play." To me, that statement validates my backing games like Pillars of Eternity as a vote for those kinds of games to be made. I had thought it was very oddly coincidental that this game was coming out along with a PO with
Pillars of Eternity, yeah.
Pillars of Eternity and the others. Okay.
Well, I backed Pillars of Eternity for $140, so.
Good for you.
Well, I know
Chris. Good for you.
I know Chris Avalon, so. Lenovo.
At Lenovo, people like him are one reason why I build my own computer and staying away from pre-built brand name computers. Having some companies' unnecessary software is bad enough, but to pin it put it underhanded adware and spyware is just ridiculous.
Now, to be fair, I don't think people like Dell are going to be putting that sort of malicious software on their system. I mean,
not if they don't want their stock prices.
They might put, say, I don't know, something more benign like Bing. You know, the Bing search engine on your
right, but that's not.
But you know,
that's not spyware. That is giving you a product for free.
I mean, you know, like having something already pre-installed as your browser, you know, your browser option, and that's easily taken off. You just say, no, I want Google as my default. So boom.
Right. At FCC and net neutrality, this is one of those things I know people debate about whether or not the government should be regulating this sort of thing. From what you guys have outlined, it clearly seems like something that needs to happen. I know my own internet seems to get throttled or some sites do not work at all for no apparent reason.
By the way, there's news that AT&T is still throttling and they're using loopholes to get around the FCC right now. So, yeah.
When is the official no throttle date?
I think it's in 6 months, if I remember correctly. But even now, though, when you're not supposed to have throttling, here it is. AT&T still throttles unlimited data, and the FCC isn't promising to stop it. The FCC's anti-throttling rules seem to ban the practice, but loopholes remain. So here's the thing is that, you know what, all it takes is one internet company to say, we don't throttle, ever, and we're not going to use loopholes to do it. That'll be pressure enough on the others to say, okay, people are going to this company and not us because they're not throttling, and so we have to match. I mean, that's how, remember, long distance used to pay for it for a minute, you know, at least in your own country. Now, you can have unlimited long distance. You don't care. Everybody has it. Why? Because one company said we're going to have unlimited long distance, and everybody else followed suit, you know?
I'm not sure that was the reason, but that did seem to be the outcome.
Yeah. Anyways. Capcom.
At Capcom and modders, I love modders always defying what companies state can or can't be done.
Okay. I don't think Capcom said that it couldn't be done. It's just that it wasn't cost effective for them to do it, so they weren't going to include it. And they didn't exactly come down on people, modders, you know, they didn't say you can't do that, stop it, you can't touch it. No, they let them do it, you know, so, I mean, you know this more than anybody else, Paul. Sometimes things are just not cost effective to include, you know.
So, well, I mean, and yeah, and more to the point, you know, back when I used to work on the Tinkerbell team, there were two expressions, you know, we're Disney, we can do whatever the hell we want. that was often, you know, paired with, yeah, but just because we can doesn't mean we should.
Right.
I mean, it was like, yeah, we could go ahead and spend whatever we needed to for a particular resource. So that doesn't mean that resource is the thing that's going to fix the broken game.
Did you have, was it hard to pull features that you liked from a game because it wasn't going to work?
Well, it depends. I mean, you prioritize. How necessary is that feature? What is its function? What is it doing?
Yeah, I mean, but is there ever, like, sadness that this would have been real cool, but we can't do it?
Like, yeah. I mean, anytime I put a feature in a game, it's there for a reason. Like, it's accomplishing a goal.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, taking a painting and saying, yeah, well, we just can't afford to paint that bottom right-hand corner right now, so we'll do it after launch, and it just kind of never gets filled in. And it's just that little corner that's just sitting there with no paint, and it irks you.
Yeah, actually, if you ever read Misery, the book by Stephen King, not the movie, I'm talking about the book, the entire thing is like a one big metaphor for writing. And, you know, amputating his thumb and amputating his foot were analogous to cutting parts of a book that you really liked, but it wasn't fitting in, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah.
Well, that's a little different. I think at that point we're getting a little closer to the Da Vinci metaphor of removing the excess marble.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on.
At Star Trek's Tribute to Spock, I was born after the show had aired, but had grown up with the movies, so I have an attachment to the old cast of sorts. The Next Generation in Deep Space Nine is still my favorites, and even there, Spock's presence was felt in episodes he showed up in, like, Unification. I love how the gaming community can honor their fallen icons, much like World of Warcraft did with Robin Williams, and now Najimi in
Nimoy. Come on, Paul.
Nimoy. I don't know. What do I know?
Kathy Najimy is still alive.
Yes, Kathy Najimy.
And they keep those rumors about a Hocus Pocus 2 keep going on and on and on and on.
Come on, people. It's not happening. Just because somebody photoshopped together a poster, it's
I
not
know,
happening.
But I know you want Midler, Najimy, and Bernadette. Was it Bernadette? No.
No, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Sarah, I know you want them all three of them together again, right?
I would enjoy a sequel to that movie if it was done at the same level of the original, because the original was awesome.
I saw it on the first day of release, actually, with my partner at the time. Because, you know, they were a big, big Bette Midler fan.
Good for they. Good for they.
So, anyways, like now Nimoy did in Star Trek Online. So the question of the week is one that's asked once a year, because this answer often changes. And I will ask you, Paul, what is your favorite gaming snack?
Ooh, God. I guess it depends on the kind of game. It can't be...
Really? You have a different snack for every type of game?
Not every type of game necessarily, but like every platform, I would suppose. you know, you could eat just about anything while playing most iOS games. But good luck trying to eat while you're playing a Wii game.
Well, I mean, there's some stuff you can just pluck and quickly put in your mouth, and while you're, you can just have your.
I think perhaps my favorite snack might be dry cereal.
Dried cereal.
Any? You just get like one of those little egg drop soup Tupperwares, the little round ones about the size of your fist. You just fill that up with
Lucky Charms or
Lucky Charms or something. You just stick your tongue in it, and whatever sticks to your tongue, that's what goes in your mouth.
Oh, okay. So I mean, well, Lucky Charms would work because the marshmallows will stick, right?
Well, yeah, but like almost all cereal pieces will stick.
I guess like Fruity Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles will stick.
I mean, but which ones are the ones you eat though? I mean. Are they marshmallow things or stuff?
I gotta say, my favorites are usually Crunchberry, but I mean, yeah.
Okay. I go with the old standby. Either pretzel sticks, you know, not those thin little ones, but you know, the pretzel rods, you know, the big ones that are almost like cigars.
Uh-huh.
Those are usually a good go-to. That with a Diet Coke. I know it's salt beyond belief, but you know, it does calm my nerves. So yeah, so that is the question of the week. What is your favorite gaming snack? And you know what? I'm going to give away a code of Cat Lateral because I found the code here. So if you want to win a copy of Cat Lateral, just answer the question of the week. What is your favorite gaming snack? This is a Steam code, so you have to have Steam in order to play it. You know, and like I said, if you want to be a cat knocking stuff down on the room and do it as fast as you can, you know, and there's also secret items and all that stuff, you know. Just enter in the question of the week. What is your favorite gaming snack? So look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net. Along with industry news and our gaming history articles, we enjoy your feedback. So leave us comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast or the forums at gamingpodcast.net/forum or send your comments to fans@gamingpodcast.net. Subscribe to us in iTunes and leave us some iTunes comments. Actually, the forums no longer exist. They were taken down. I guess too much space, you know. But you can still write to us and you can still post comments, obviously, as AlphaShard did.
There you go.
Yeah. So anyways, we will see you next week.
Bye, Bonds. What? It's good advice.
And hopefully I won't feel as crappy as I do right now.
I had a fever and was in bed for 3 days. It was awful.
But wait, was it during GDC that you were?
No, it was immediately after. It's like the minute I opened my, like the minute I got into my home, I crawled into my bed and I didn't crawl out for 2 days.
Yeah, well.
It was awful.
I just haven't had proper sleep all week ever since getting back from PAX East. because of my job and all that stuff. So, and this weekend, I'm planning to get a lot of rest. And hopefully that'll cure what ails me right now, because I don't know what it is. It isn't sick. It's more like having syrup on your head and just forcing it down. I mean...
Ew, I'm sorry.
Let me put it... It's like my head isn't... You know... what's the term I'm looking for? You know how you swimming, your head is swimming. That's what my head feels like. It feels like it's swimming. So probably after I shut this down, I'm just going to plop right to sleep.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.